At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. It's about interesting family stories and the truth behind them. It's available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
First hour, 7 o'clock is already here. Only 2 days left of season two of After Hours. I know some of you might be sad, some of you might be glad. Season two will come to a wrap on Friday night. We can have a celebration. We'll have no Royals game Friday. We'll have a Royals game tomorrow, 3:10, first pitch here on 610 Sports Radio. Vern's pregame show starts at 2 o'clock. He gave you all you need to know. Tickets to the Baltimore series. Gonna do the double play. Rob Breton's gonna get to start off his new season as the reigning champion of last year's double play. I did not win once. I went the whole year. Didn't win once. Got kicked out the last month of the season.
They just said you were that bad.
There's no lying. I admit my L's. I took an L last year, several of them. But I always did like two-leg, three-leg parlays.
Yeah.
And I almost hit one. That's how close I was.
Most money I won last year was actually after a show that Vern and I did. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know what? We're going to go all in on this bad boy. Eight-leg parlay hit for $200.
Nice.
On the Royals, baby. Royals, Washington Nationals. It was great.
What'd you bet? $2?
I bet.
Eight-leg to win $200? That's got to be a low
bet. It was like $2 or $3. It might have been $7 to win $200.
From the 816, with the new rule changes, this rugby guy is going to be our next returner.
Yep.
Rugby players are quite adept to high pointing kicks down the field. Kicks are rugby's only forward pass, from the 913. Also, from the 913, I knew some rugby guys back in college. Those are some tough SOBs, and they can all drink like Russian tanks. I'm surprised there's not more in the NFL, to be honest with you. Well,
There's probably more than you realize,
yeah,
or guys that have played in the NFL, because I looked it up. I know a couple, but famous, actually, Gary Anderson was a rugby player back in the day. Former linebacker Stuart Bradley, good rugby player. Nate Ebner was actually on the USA national rugby team, as well as played safety for the Patriots. You also have Paul Lisicki, Hatoli Nada, Stephen Pea, guys like that.
Never heard of him.
Never heard Hatoli Nada?
Nope. Awesome. I probably have.
Offensive defensive tackle for the Ravens for years. So,
Jordan Schultz also reports the Chiefs plan on giving Zammit a shot at being involved with kickoffs, which with the new rules makes this a significant signing. Once again, Brett Veach and the Kansas City Chiefs ahead of the curb. This is After Hours on 610 Sports Radio. We dive back into what is tomorrow with opening day. And for those of you that think I am high or not saying the right things, this was John Morosi about your ace who takes the mound tomorrow to shove against the Minnesota Twins.
Cole Reagan's Kansas City Royals. I'm all about the Midwest here in this segment, Lauren. I've got the Tigers winning the division and a Kansas City Royals left-hander, Cole Reagan's, winning the Cy Young. He was a revelation for KC once he came over at the deadline. Theo DeRosa, our colleague at MLB.com, great name, by the way. Theo wrote about how Reagan's fastball velo went up 4 miles per hour year over year. And he also added a slider last year once he arrived to the Kansas City Royals. So you think about the great lineage of Royals, Cy Young winners, Sabre Hagen, Greinke. I think that Cole Reagan's finds a way to add his name to that list this season.
So I'm not out here doing this program. No, we'll have Pete Sweeney at 7:15 to talk about this new signing for the Chiefs. He'll come on and talk about that and what you need to know moving forward, as they're already at the lab at Arrowhead Pride putting out information as they always do. Pete Sweeney will join us in 10 minutes to talk about this breaking news that the Chiefs sign rugby star Louis Reese Zammit. Reminds me of Willamette Valley, which is the home of Pinot Noir, which you know that me, Dusty Likens, loves some Pinot Noir, because why, Blake? It's simply too good. But Cole Reagans, man, let's be honest. Burns told you everything you need to know. Back-to-back Tommy John surgeries. Last year, had an insane year with the Kansas City Royals. Pitched his ass off for this team. Was the pitcher of the month in the month of August for the Kansas City Royals. Last year, he went, just did his thing, man. Was significant for the Kansas City Royals last year. Had 12 games he started. He was had a 2.64 ERA, 71 innings pitched, 50 hits. I know I don't have to do a lot of math for you, but 21 less hits than innings pitched is absolutely fantastic. Not only that, 89 strikeouts in 71 innings is fantastic as well, and only gave up 3 home runs. This is your ace. This is your numero uno when it comes to your pitching staff. This is the guy that your team will lean on. This is a guy that has proven it in a short span of time with the Kansas City Royals. He went 5-2 last year, right? Had 12 games that he started. We told you the numbers. And 89 strikeouts in 71 innings, only gave up 3 home runs in 71 innings, and only gave up 50 hits. The other thing that's impressive is that in 71 innings, he only had 27 walks. Cole Reagans, your ace of the staff, your number one. And as you just heard, John Morosi said, there's a chance that he's taking Cole Reagans, who is right now 14-1 to win Cy Young. I'm not out here saying that you have to throw all your money on Cole Reagans to win Cy Young, but with the news of Gerrit Cole being out, with the uptick in production that you heard, 4 miles per hour to his fastball, and as people have called him, the left-handed Jacob DeGrom, the Royals might have somehow fallen into getting an ace of their staff. And the ironicness of all of this, or the irony of this, is that a guy in Dayton Moore who drafted all of your pitchers that might not have worked out the way that you would like them, Daniel Lynch, Brady Singer, Jackson Coar, Josh Staumont, among others, Brad Keller, didn't really draft him, but got him in a Rule 5 deal. But the thing is, you got Cole Reagans for Aroldis Chapman last year from the Texas Rangers, who had some significant help from Dayton Moore. And now you have your ace. Not only that, the Royals have their ace in the lineup. He will bat second, play shortstop, wear the number 7, and you will get a bobblehead if you get there in time tomorrow for this Royals game, and that is Bobby Witt Jr. And this is a team that over the last couple years, they haven't had a whole lot of significant clout when it comes to offense or pitching. Pitching's been an issue. Last year, Jordan Lyles was the laughingstock of the MLB with how he couldn't win games. They made a bet that Cody and Gold made that they would buy a bottle of Dom Perignon if he would get to a certain amount of wins. They actually got there, and they got to have themselves a little party. You won't have those sarcastic bets. You'll have a Dom Perignon bet that come out if he leads the league in strikeouts, which I know Alex Gold has a future bet in. I'm sure Cody Tapp has put a little bit of coin on Cole Reagans to win Cy Young. There's also a chance that your batter in the second hole of your lineup that plays shortstop, who gave you his entire 20s to play here as a franchise player, could finish top 3, if not top 2, in the MVP votings. I mean that. Bobby Witt Jr. has done every year something better every year he's been in the league. Last year, he put up historic numbers. This year, there's a chance he could be a 30-50 guy. He could be a 35-60 guy. I mean that. And he's here, and the Royals have that, and they have that to lean on going into this season. Whereas in seasons past, it's been what? Well, they got Sal Perez. He's a perennial all-star catcher that can hit you 35-40 bombs. Yeah, they've got a guy in MJ Melendez who's supposed to be an, you know, rising superstar. Vinny Pasquantino, he's a power hitting left or first baseman who can crank it out of the park, who is a lefty, by the way. But now you actually have where everybody in the league sees your roster and says, well, who do the Royals have that we should worry about? Well, you got to get Cole Reagans this weekend, plus you got to go up against Bobby Witt Jr. 3 times in a series. That's a dangerous combo, and that's a combo the Royals really haven't necessarily had since they had George Brett and Brett Sabering, and that's a fact. And that was back in the 80s. So when you look at this season and there's the negativity that spreads around like, oh, we'll see if it's even actually going to happen. We'll see if they're actually going to be good. Go into it with an open mindset. Go into it with something that you haven't had since 85, where you've had a number one on the batting lineup and you've had a number one in the pitching lineup when it comes to a starter, a solidified ace that is a perennial and could be a Cy Young winner and an MVP caliber player in your lineup that builds the chemistry around the team. You have your leader on the pitching staff. You have your leader in the lineup. That's what you want to see. That's a stepping stone that not a lot of teams get after having horrific season after horrific season. And now the Chiefs, or now the Royals, can look past that and look to this season and say, you know what? Every fifth day we're going to have Reagans going, and Bobby Witt Jr. is going to be our guy that's going to be our superstar MVP caliber type of player for the season moving forward this year. I love it.
I mean,
I'm ready.
And just to add, if you need even any more ammunition to add to the Cole Reagans thing, go on to YouTube for me and just type in Cole Reagans. You don't have to follow it up with anything else.
Right.
Type in Cole Reagans and see how many videos are being made by baseball geeks and baseball nerds all over the country talking about how this guy is a hidden gem in this year's season. I mean, it is insane. And they're talking about the stuff that he's doing. I mean, hell, he averaged 11.9 Ks through nine last year.
Mm-hmm.
That is insane.
That's DeGrom stuff.
That's insane.
Yeah.
I mean, there people are freaking out over him. And, oh, by the
As
way, he can top it off at like 101.
Yeah.
And he's got a five-pitch combo. And who's right behind him? Oh, I'm sorry. You have to face Michael Wacha.
Well, it'll be Lugo, then Singer, then Wacha, then Marsh. But you still got veterans behind him. And then you have Brady Singer, who, again, where a guy like Cole Reagans can help. Brady Singer, hey, man, there's no pressure. Just go be the third starter in this rotation. Do your thing. And if it works out, it works out. If it doesn't, we'll just keep you around and keep you as a third, fourth starter for this team. But either way, I think the Royals have what they finally have been wanting to get since the 80s. They got a one and a one on both sides of the field. And that is Cole Reagans, Bobby Witt Jr. Coming up on the other side, we'll go bother Pete Sweeney. Let him talk to you about this rugby player coming to Kansas City and what his attributes and his addition to this team means moving forward with rule changes and this bizarre offense that you could think Andy Reid's in a candy land when it comes to what potential this kid could have for the Chiefs. We'll talk to Pete Sweeney, the chief editor of Arrowhead Pride, coming up on the other side. 610 Sports Radio, listen after hours.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
That's that Welsh national music right there, Daddy. That's the theme song to your newest Chiefs roster athlete, Luis Rhys-Zamet. I had to make an audible, and I had to go to Pete Sweeney of Arrowhead Pride, the chief editor. Pete, as we flourish in the Welsh national song, what does this do for somebody at Pete Sweeney? Because I've already seen Arrowhead Pride's going nuts, man. This is fun.
It is a new, interesting wrinkle to what is going to be the Chiefs' offseason. And there's, you know, talk about like low risk, max reward. There's absolutely no risk to bring him aboard because he's part of the international pathway program. He doesn't even take up a roster spot. So this guy comes in, he tried out for, looked like receiver and running back. He also has some kick return upside, especially with this new kickoff. It's brand new for the NFL, and it kind of slows down the play. Might fit right up his alley, and we'll see. I mean, this is a player that is changing sports, and so I think you take it with a grain of salt, but you got to think, well, at the very least, he could potentially be an asset on special teams, and we'll see.
I would assume this is something that you might get a call from maybe one Pat McAfee tomorrow. This seems like something that he would absolutely lose his mind over. Pete, immediate reaction. What is this addition to the Chiefs roster screen? We've talked about it a little bit. I'm interested to hear what your take is with all the new rule changes, obviously the kickoffs, the fourth and one issues that this team had last year. What does this signing immediately react towards in Pete Sweeney's mind, the chief editor at Arrowhead Pride?
I just think it just continues to add to the idea that this particular regime, this personnel staff led by general manager Brett Veach, is like really, truly no stone unturned, right? This guy obviously has some athletic upside. There is a changing with the kickoff and trying to make it safer. It seems like it actually may benefit somebody who has that ability as a rugby fullback, H-back type of guy. And so I think the Chiefs say it doesn't cost us anything besides, you know, having him at practice and teaching him the game. You know that Andy Reid and his coaching staff loves to teach, and so he'll see what they can get out of him. And who knows? I mean, I know for a fact this is going to be something that fans will be driving up to St. Joe excited to see. So it's just one of those why not situations.
This screams how well the Chiefs have been with the rapport they have with Andy Reid and Brett Veach and company. As we were talking to Pete Sweeney of Arrowhead Pride, the chief editor of that wonderful website, Pete, it just lets me know that this makes me think that Andy Reid and Brett Veach are always two steps ahead of everybody else. And I'm sure this is one of those things that, you know, this guy's name's been floating around. We've seen videos of him kicking field goals from 60 plus and whatnot, but this really seems like something that just always reminds us that when you think you've gotten close, you're nowhere near where the Chiefs are when it comes to a mindset of what the next league year is going to be. Here we are, March 27th, the day before opening day, where I had no plans on talking about the Kansas City Chiefs. And then, boom, this happens. And I feel like everyone in the league that sees this news goes, damn it, what are they up to?
Yeah, and I think it another part of the story that is worth mentioning here as well is just this idea that, you know, now with the International Pathway Program, he was visiting the New York Jets, the Cleveland Browns, and the Denver Broncos. And I think to a certain extent, it says something about the worldwide allure of the Kansas City Chiefs. If you're overseas and you're changing sports and you might have some value in the NFL and you have your pick of all these teams, of all these 32 teams, I got to think, especially because you're not signing this guy to a mega deal or anything like that, I got to think the Chiefs are number one in your choice because, you know, they're the most popular NFL team in the world right now with what they're doing, building this dynasty. And so that was something I pointed out earlier when we were discussing it on our Arrowhead Pride podcast was, okay, so you have this list of four teams. If you're waking up tomorrow and you can decide, of course it's going to be the Chiefs. Like, why would you go anywhere else? And so I know that we're always looking for, like, that Kansas City Patrick Mahomes dynasty type of advantage, but I just assumed that, you know, if these teams, he'll pick the Chiefs for sure if they're interested. And so obviously mutual interest, and he'll go and sign with Kansas City on Friday. And I know that, you know, from covering this team for so long, this is going to be a story that interests the fan base for the entire offseason.
Yeah, this is going to be one of those things that when we talk to each other in St. Joe and hopefully avoiding tornadic activity like we had to do this last year, or this will be a guy that this is going to be one of those players that when the cameras start rolling, there's going to be cover stories. I can already hear Mick Schaefer's news coverage tonight or Aaron Ladd's tonight where this is going to lead the sports world, even though there's opening day coming tomorrow. But this is just such an obscure signing, and it seems like it's one of those things that, like I just had mentioned about being ahead of the curve and someone that could really be an asset to this team with the way that the league evolves. And like you said, a very great point that this league is international now, and now international players, obviously there's been rugby players in the league before, but man, the hell with a no look pass. I'm ready to see a fake out to the left side of Isaiah Pacheco and then see Mahomes do a rugby style pass to this kid on the outside on a third and one and go for 15, 16 yards.
Yeah. Again, I think we got to take it one step at a time here. I mean, if you're thinking about, okay, this guy is going to take up a roster spot, he's going to have to be outstanding on special teams. I got to imagine there's going to be a steep learning curve, not only learning the game of football, how to line up, route running, so on and so forth. But he is also, if he is an offensive player, because I think he could probably project as a linebacker as well, but if he is an offensive player, he's got to learn arguably the most complex playbook in the NFL if he's going to get in on offense. So yeah. I think the ceiling here is one of these four core special teams guys that plays multiple special teams, and maybe Andy Reid builds in, you know, 4 to 5, 6 plays a game, and you kind of see how he does in year one. And, you know, we've seen this team in the past convert things like basketball players to football players, like, you know, Demetrius Harris, Jody Fortson, comes to mind. And so we'll see. I think there is a possibility. It isn't out of the realm of possibility that he somehow makes the Chiefs roster, and if not, potentially an asset on the practice squad. So it will be very interesting to watch when we do get an opportunity to watch these OTAs in person as part of the media group.
On the spot, what's a nickname for him?
Oh, God. Well, he's got a name that resembles Lee Summit. So I guess Rezamit, Missouri is the first thing that comes to mind. But I think we're going to have to work on it. A little workshop.
Oh, man, I can't wait to say Zamit, damn it, on Twitter this year when he scores a touchdown. I guarantee you I'll lose my mind. Pete, I think I saw something today. Are you pulling the mustache mullet look right now?
Yeah, it's a pseudo look. This is an off season look right now. Okay. Not doing a ton of TV. I don't know how my bosses at KSHB 41 would enjoy the mustache with the mullet, but as far as I'm not doing TV right now, you got to let the hair flow when you can, Dusty. You know that.
Because the first time I saw your new look, I thought, oh God, Pete's single.
No. Okay. I just wanted
to make sure.
Yeah, no, everything is still going great, but I appreciate that concern. You're a good friend.
Okay. Are you going to be there tomorrow?
At opening day?
Yeah.
I will not be in attendance, but I will be there in spirit, and I'll be watching. I'll be watching from afar. I like to go in the first few weeks, but opening day is, it's usually mobbed, so I tend to wait a little bit.
Well, we'll have to have some Trulies and White Claws or something here out there pretty soon in the summer and just kick back, and maybe I'll join you with the mustache. I can't grow a mullet, but I can grow a mustache.
That sounds good. I need a partner in crime.
Well, hey, Pete, thanks for the time. I appreciate you coming on very, very quickly and giving our intake on this new Luis Rezamit signing for the Kansas City Chiefs. I appreciate it. Have a good night. Enjoy the offseason, my man.
All right, Dusty.
Pete Sweeney, Chief Editor, Arrowhead Pride, thanks to him for joining the show. Thanks to Blake for being on top of it as always. And we'll dive in more of this later tonight. But on the other side, I want to get into maybe what could be some good Royal props this season. Plus, we'll play you the Matt Quattaro interview earlier from today with Bob Fesco and Josh Klinger. That coming up next. Your Royals skipper, he spoke to the guys of Fesco in the morning. Hear what he had to say coming up next on After Hours on 610 Sports Radio.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
To walk along the lonely street of dreams. Here I go again on my own. Going down the only road I've ever known. Like a drifter, I was born to walk alone.
I mean, we went through a lot of stuff in the offseason to get us in a spot where we feel a lot better about the team. And that's not necessarily a knock on anybody that was here before. It's just a matter of – it's our job every year to upgrade. No matter if we won 100 games last year or not, we'd still be looking to upgrade. And that's kind of the mindset we have, on a day-to-day basis, but also year-to-year. So – yeah, we have high expectations for ourselves, and that would be great if the fans have those as well, because that's what the passionate fans want.
You were obviously on the ground the entire time. We feel like we're like almost like far away removed most of the times from spring training, right? These games kind of happen away from us. We don't all see it here in Kansas City. But what were your kind of like biggest maybe takeaways from spring training with this group?
Well, I mean, I think the biggest thing is our pitching. I think one thing is we're going to throw it a lot more strikes than we did last year. That was evident. That's been a message since we came in, which is not top secret by any means, right? But the guys that we have, they're going to be able to execute that more. So what that means to me is if somebody's going to beat us, they're going to have to beat us. I think we're going to play good defense, and the more strikes you throw, the more decisions you make, the opposing hitters make, it's hard to hit. So the more you challenge guys, the more you're in the zone, the better chance you have of being effective. So between that and the other thing on the offensive side is really just having a deeper lineup. Some of the guys last year we threw into spots, at the top or middle of the order where maybe that wasn't ideal for them at that point in their career. So being able to put them in spots that's more conducive to success you know, and having a more balanced lineup throughout, I think is really the two things that really stood out from a baseball standpoint.
You know, Cole Reagans too, Matt, is getting a lot of love. People are saying, oh, surprise, Cy Young Award candidate. Like, you're seeing things like you're going, wow, this is going to be awesome. And based on last season, how could you not get excited about him? What kind of expectations should we all have for Cole Reagans? Is this a 20-game winner? Is this a sub-3 ERA? Like, what should we expect as fans?
Well, I'll sign up for both of those.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
okay,
I don't think it's fair in any one individual person to put those kinds of expectations on anybody, regardless if they're veteran or rookie or somewhere in the middle. You know, I think Cole, you know, what he did for us last year as a team and what he did to put himself on the map was tremendous. But that's all in the past, right? So we're living in today, and we're taking it one start at a time, and that's what his mindset is. I mean, I haven't been around too many guys that are as driven as him to continue to get better, not only when he's pitching in games, but behind the scenes, the stuff he does conditioning-wise and recovery-wise and in his bullpens and his preparation and all that is outstanding. So I don't think it's fair to put a ceiling or an expectation. I just think that every time out there, he's going to give us a chance to win.
The veteran guys being around him as well, I always feel like pitching, you know, does become contagious, but having a true vets like Lugo and Waka, what can that mean for Reagans and Singer and anybody else that's kind of looking to take that next step?
Yeah, and I think not only do those guys affect the pitchers, they affect the whole clubhouse, you know, and Will Smith and Chris Stratton and the guys like that, and Renfro and Frazier, all the veteran guys we brought in, you know, there's just that sense of, okay, we've been here, we've understood what it's like, we've taken our lumps as young players. You know, they're going to give feedback to the players on things as little as rest and recovery or bullpens or, you know, if you have a rough start, how to move on past it. Or even within that, like you give up a few runs in the first inning, you got a chance to still win a game. You know, you got to, and that's the goal. I mean, really, when it boils down to it, the mindset that those guys have brought in is that we're here to win. The past is not part of what we were a part of, and we're moving on. And that's really what these guys can really benefit from.
God, I love hearing you say that, because I look at the Bill Pacoda rankings, and he's got the Royals at like 72-90, and they say it's hard to make a jump from, you know, 62 wins or whatever it was to more than that. It's hard to make a big gain. I'm like, but you turned over basically the entire roster. Like, there were a lot of you're not invited back to the party next year because you didn't bring a good enough dish, right? So you've got a lot of new people in. How can people put a number on it based on all the new additions that you made to this ball club and say, well, it's not feasible to win more than 10 or 15 games than you did the year before? And I'm going, sure it is. I mean, it's a whole new roster here.
Yeah, and I mean, as far as what goes into those rankings and stuff, I mean, I'm sure they are based in data and, you know, the analytics say that, but you know, what you look at is you can go to any rankings, public or internal rankings, and they're all different, right? So mm-hmm. One year to the next, you know, the one that really stands out is I think it was 2 or 3 years ago, the Giants were supposed to win 80 games and they won 106, you know? And so it's like, there's going to be underperformance. There's going to be overperformance. There's going to be injuries, and those things can't account for all those things. I think they try to, in some way, they try to regress to the mean in a lot of cases, but I don't think that those things are, we're certainly not looking at them. I mean, we don't go out there and think, all right, well, we got 72 wins, so let's spread them out or whatever. You know, I mean, we're going out there and the guys know that our goal is to win every time we cross the lines. I mean, and we're going to do everything in our power to do that. Now, obviously we're not going to go 162-0, nor is any other team. So we're going to do our best to put any losing streaks behind us and sustain the winning streaks. And that's our main goal.
I got you 162-0.
Yeah, not with that attitude. Yeah. No one can win 162.
Let's go, Matt.
All right. Sorry to put a damper on things.
Yeah. Really... I mean, my God, the manager, that's breaking news. Get that out to Mike Florio. He needs to know. Starting hot though. Like that's been this organization's Achilles heel since the day is long, right? Every year it seems like got to get out to a hotter start. How do we do that? I know if you had the answers, you'd be a millionaire somewhere selling your story. But like how do you make sure you get off to that good start so you get that fan buy-in right away?
Well, winning baseball games comes down to pitching regardless of whether it's April or September. So, you know, that's the number one goal. And I think that's why we made as many changes as we did in the offseason, is to put guys that we thought would give us the best chance to suppress runs on the other side of the field. So if you're in games, you know, you're limiting runs, playing good defense and pitching, you got a chance to win. And that's not really an earth-shattering news either, but that's what we're going to be about, and that's how we're going to try to go and you know, win right out of the gate.
Matt Cotrero, Royals skipper, joining us here on 610 Sports Radio on the eve of the season. 3:10 first pitch tomorrow right here on 610 Sports Radio. I thought it was another cool thing at spring training. Saw a few of the former players from like 14 and 15. A couple of pitchers were back and kind of like, I don't know, it felt like an infusion of, hey, we were part of this organization. We saw it winning. How do you incorporate that? How do you hope they kind of provide help to this current club?
Well, I mean, I think the Royals have such a storied history, and every year for a week, you know, as many of them as can make it, the Royals Hall of Famers are there. You know, the Willie Wilsons and Amos Otis and those guys are there. Steve Busby, Dennis Leonard, all those guys. So that provides, you know, the historical context to the organization. Obviously, almost every day, George is there. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we don't take for granted. Mike Sweeney's there on a regular basis. And those guys are incredible. What our goal was bringing Shields and Davis and Holland back was just, you know, as anything, time moves on quickly. And a lot of the guys, you know, weren't as familiar with the Hall of Famers. Now they see these guys that they watched and, you know, in like Will's case and Salvi's case, played with those guys as well. And so the instant credibility, the instant message that they can deliver. I mean, those guys were playing as recently as 2 or 3 years ago. And, you know, really it was a targeted, you know, mission, so to speak, with those guys, because we know what they bring as far as in the clubhouse, the teammates, the winning culture, the winning mindset. Those were the kinds of things that I thought those guys could help with. You know, and to have Wade and Greg there specifically for talking to the bullpen guys, not only our guys, but the guys in the minor leagues and how they go about their business. And Shieldy, you know, I've known him a long time going back to Tampa. And what he is he's tons of energy. He's tons of passion. He loves to help. He loves to share. And so just being around our pitchers, listening to what they have to say and sharing some of their experiences is extremely valuable for us.
We're really excited. We're fired up, man. Like this is the most anticipation, I think, for a season that Royals fans have probably had since 2016. So everybody's rooting for you, man. We're all looking forward to it. We're looking forward to get this vote out of the way, get the new stadium on the way, get the ball club winning, the whole nine yards. Like, it's a great day to be a member of this organization, man. And we're so happy and excited for the start of the season.
I agree on all of that. Let's go.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
I really want to just keep going with opening day. I really want to just keep talking baseball, but I can't. It's not my fault. The Chiefs made a very interesting signing. Luis Rhys-Zamet, the Welshman. I want to know what number he's going to go with. Does he have a number in rugby? Do they have it on here?
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. To walk along the lonely street of dreams.
mean, we went through a lot of stuff in the offseason to get us in a spot where we feel a lot better about the team. And that's not necessarily a knock on anybody that was here before. It's just a matter of, it's our job every year to upgrade. No matter if we won 100 games last year or not, we'd still be looking to upgrade. And that's kind of the mindset we have, you know, on a day-to-day basis, but also year-to-year. So, yeah, we have high expectations for ourselves, and that would be great if the fans have those as well, because that's what the passionate fans want.
You were obviously on the ground the entire time. You know, we feel like we're like almost like far away removed most of the times from spring training, right? These games kind of happen away from us. We don't all see it here in Kansas City. But what were your kind of like biggest maybe takeaways from spring training with this group?
Well, I mean, I think the biggest thing is our pitching. You know, I think one thing is we're going to throw it a lot more strikes than we did last year. That was evident. You know, that's been a message since we came in, which is not top secret by any means, right? But the guys that we have, they're going to be able to execute that more. So what that means to me is if somebody's going to beat us, they're going to have to beat us. You know, I think we're going to play good defense, and the more strikes you throw, the more decisions you make, the opposing hitters make, it's hard to hit. So the more you challenge guys, the more you're in the zone, the better chance you have of being effective. So between that and the other thing on the offensive side is really just having a deeper lineup. You know, some of the guys last year we threw into spots, you know, at the top or middle of the order where maybe that wasn't ideal for them at that point in their career. So being able to put them in spots that's more conducive to success, you know, and having a more balanced lineup throughout, I think is really the two things that really stood out from a baseball standpoint.
You know, Cole Reagans too, Matt, is getting a lot of love. People are saying, oh, surprise, Cy Young Award candidate. Like you're seeing things like you're going, wow, this is going to be awesome. And based on last season, how could you not get excited about him? What kind of expectations should we all have for Cole Reagans? Is this a 20 game winner? Is this a sub 3 ERA? Like what should we expect as fans?
Well, I'll sign up for both of those.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
okay, yeah.
I don't think it's fair in any one individual person to put those kinds of expectations on anybody, regardless if they're veteran or rookie or somewhere in the middle. You know, I think Cole, you know, what he did for us last year as a team and what he did to put himself on the map was tremendous, but that's all in the past, right? So we're living in today and we're taking it one start at a time, and that's what his mindset is. I mean, I haven't been around too many guys that are as driven as him to continue to get better, not only when he's pitching in games, but behind the scenes, the stuff he does conditioning-wise and recovery-wise and in his bullpens and his preparation and all that is outstanding. So I don't think it's fair to put a ceiling or an expectation. I just think that every time out there, he's going to give us a chance to win.
The veteran guys being around him as well, I always feel like pitching, you know, does become contagious, but having a true vets like Lugo and Waka, what can that mean for Reagans and Singer and anybody else that's kind of looking to take that next step?
Yeah, and I think not only do those guys affect the pitchers, they affect the whole clubhouse, you know, and Will Smith and Chris Stratton and the guys like that and Renfro and Frazier, all the veteran guys we brought in, you know, there's just that sense of, okay, we've been here, we've understood what it's like, we've taken our lumps as young players. You know, they're going to give feedback to the players on things as little as rest and recovery or bullpens or, you know, if you have a rough start, how to move on past it. Or even within that, like you give up a few runs in the first inning, you got a chance to still win a game. You know, you got to, and that's the goal. I mean, really, when it boils down to it, the mindset that those guys have brought in is that we're here to win. The past is not part of what we were a part of, and we're moving on. And that's really what these guys can really benefit from.
God, I love hearing you say that because I look at the like the Bill Pecota rankings and he's got the Royals at like 72-90 and they say it's hard to make a jump from, you know, 62 wins or whatever it was to more than that. It's hard to make a big gain. I'm like, but you turned over basically the entire roster. Like there were a lot of you're not invited back to the party next year because you didn't bring a good enough dish, right? So you've got a lot of new people in. How can people put a number on it based on all the new additions that you made to this ball club and say, well, it's not feasible to win more than 10 or 15 games than you did the year before? And I'm going, sure it is. I mean, it's a whole new roster here.
Yeah, and I mean, as far as what goes into those rankings and stuff, I mean, I'm sure they are based in data and, you know, the analytics say that, but you know, what you look at is you can go to any rankings, public or internal rankings, and they're all different, right? So mm-hmm. 1 year to the next, you know, the one that really stands out is I think it was 2 or 3 years ago, the Giants were supposed to win 80 games and they won 106, you know? And so it's like, there's going to be underperformance. There's going to be overperformance. There's going to be injuries, and those things can't account for all those things. I think they try to, in some way, they try to regress to the mean in a lot of cases, but I don't think that those things are, we're certainly not looking at them. I mean, we don't go out there and think, all right, well, we got 72 wins, so let's spread them out or whatever. You know, I mean, we're going out there and the guys know that our goal is to win every time we cross the lines. I mean, and we're going to do everything in our power to do that. Now, obviously, we're not going to go 162-0, nor is any other team. So we're going to do our best to put any losing streaks behind us and sustain the winning streaks, and that's our main goal.
I got you 162-0. Not with that attitude. Yeah.
No one can win 162.
Let's go, Matt.
All right, sorry to put a damper on things.
Yeah, really... I mean, my God, the manager, that's breaking news. Get that out to Mike Florio. He needs to know. Starting hot, though, like that's been this organization's Achilles heel since the day is long, right? Every year it seems like, got to get out to a hotter start. How do we do that? I know if you had the answers, you'd be a millionaire somewhere selling your story, but like how do you make sure you get off to that good start so you get that fan buy-in right away?
Well, winning baseball games comes down to pitching regardless of whether it's April or September. So, you know, that's the number one goal. And I think that's why we made as many changes as we did in the offseason, is to put guys that we thought would give us the best chance to suppress runs on the other side of the field. So if you're in games, you know, you're limiting runs, playing good defense and pitching, you got a chance to win. And that's not really a earth-shattering news either, but that's what we're going to be about, and that's how we're going to try to go and you know, win right out of the gate.
Matt Cotrero, Royals skipper, joining us here on 610 Sports Radio on the eve of the season. 3:10 first pitch tomorrow right here on 610 Sports Radio. I thought it was another cool thing at spring training. Saw a few of the former players from like 14 and 15. A couple of pitchers were back and kind of like, I don't know, it felt like an infusion of, hey, we were part of this organization. We saw it winning. How do you incorporate that? How do you hope they kind of provide help to this current club?
Well, I mean, I think the Royals have such a storied history, and every year for a week, you know, all the, as many of them as can make it, the Royals Hall of Famers are there. You know, the Willie Wilsons and Amos Otis and those guys are there. Steve Busby, Dennis Leonard, all those guys. So that provides, you know, the historical context to the organization. Obviously, almost every day George is there, mm-hmm. and that's something that we don't take for granted. Mike Sweeney's there on a regular basis, and those guys are incredible. What our goal was bringing Shields and Davis and Holland back was just, you know, as anything, time moves on quickly, and a lot of the guys, you know, well, weren't as familiar with the Hall of Famers. Now they see these guys that they watched and, you know, in like Will's case and Salvi's case, played with those guys as well. And so the instant credibility, the instant message that they can deliver. I mean, those guys were playing as recently as 2 or 3 years ago. And, you know, really it was a targeted, you know, mission, so to speak, with those guys, because we know what they bring as far as in the clubhouse, the teammates, the winning culture, the winning mindset. Those were the kinds of things that I thought those guys could help with. You know, and to have Wade and Greg there specifically for talking to the bullpen guys, not only our guys, but the guys in the minor leagues and how they go about their business. And Shieldy, you know, I've known him a long time going back to Tampa. And what he is he's tons of energy. He's tons of passion. He loves to help. He loves to share. And so just being around our pitchers, listening to what they have to say and sharing some of their experiences is extremely valuable for us.
We're really excited. We're fired up, man. Like this is the most anticipation, I think, for a season that Royals fans have probably had since 2016. So everybody's rooting for you, man. We're all looking forward to it. We're looking forward to get this vote out of the way, get the new stadium on the way, get the ball club winning, the whole nine yards. Like, it's a great day to be a member of this organization, man. And we're so happy and excited for the start of the season.
I agree on all of that. Let's go.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
I really want to just keep going with opening day. I really want to just keep talking baseball, but I can't. It's not my fault. The Chiefs made a very interesting signing. Luis Rhys-Zamet, the Welshman. I want to know what number he's going to go with. Does he have a number in rugby? Do they have it on here? He was born February 2nd, 2001, if you want to feel old. He's 23 years old, so he just turned 23. And for those of you that want stats or want some information on what maybe this guy you could see. Now, again, let's be real. The kid has not played in pads, never played in the NFL, so put that to the side, but still. Good friend of mine, former employee here, knows his business, knows his numbers. Stanford Joe was what you used to know him by. Joe Summers is what we call him by because that's his birth name. Said dude was clocked at 24.2 miles per hour in a rugby match. DK had the fastest time in NFL this year at 22.2. He's reportedly ran a 4.240. The dude is just fast. We asked people, what's your nickname? For LRZ, that's been the popular one, LRZ, Luis Rhys-Zamet. Joe Summers says he's the Welsh Debo.
Like it.
All we've done is watch highlights during breaks.
That's all we've done.
And you had a pretty good take about how he could be effective outside of just kick return and running game, that there's certain things that players do on this team that resemble rugby-style passes.
Well, everybody knows Travis Kelce loves to dish the ball off. He's always looking for somebody to pass it to. You know, maybe ill-advised. I'm sure it gives Andy Reid a heart attack. But he's done it successfully a handful of times. And I just think that there's got to be some sort of package with Travis Kelce downfield, Zamet downfield, with getting ready to pitch it, because Trav can pitch it, Zamet can pitch and catch it, because that's what he's a pro at, is the throwing on the run with accuracy. Now I get it; it's a little different ball, but the motion is still going to be the same.
He ain't throwing it.
No, he's not throwing it. Like, give that man a pitch and let him take off, hook and ladder style.
The other thing that's kind of crazy to think about. Now, this is all we're just spitballing because the news just broke tonight. If you missed it, Jordan Schultz reported that the Chiefs plan on signing rugby Welsh star Luis Rhys-Zamet on Friday. We had Pete Sweeney on at 7:15 to talk about it at Arrowhead Pride Radio, and we're going to finish up the 7 o'clock hour talking about it right now. But maybe you were this kid, but when you played basketball, like pickup games, did anybody ever bring like the smaller ball? Like the little, like
the women's ball?
No, like, you know, like the little, like, arcade type balls that you could just, like, heave from half court, but you get a better grip on it. That's kind of the same sort of situation with a football and a rugby ball. I've held a rugby ball, an official rugby football. Oh, yeah. I've held it. It's huge, massive.
Big old boy.
You think about that, the NFL football is quite smaller, which makes you think that he might have a better feel for being able to hold on to that a little bit better than maybe a massive size rugby ball. And then you tack on speed. You tack on a complex sort of offense that Andy Reid can run where he can make certain guys open, a la corndog with a little bit of mustard on it for Mecole Hardman, who was the shuttle. This guy screams shuttle. This guy screams the guy that's going to be the guy that goes in motion that everybody's going to look at. And all of a sudden it's like, okay, yeah, we'll believe it when we see it. And then 24 miles per hour down the field, and he's gone. We're not expecting him to have 1,000 yards.
No.
We're not expecting him to have 80 catches. But when you talk about the NFL and the way the rules change and the way that you can be schematic and you can do things that nobody else can do because you have certain people on your team, this guy screams that. That's what this guy screams. Like, when you had Tyreek Hill, right? Because I'm not saying that he's as fast as Tyreek Hill, but I trust Joe, and I know he does his homework. I know that 40 times probably within the same window. When Tyreek Hill had all that speed, the first thing a lot of people thought of was, oh,
Wait till they develop him. And what happened? You took a guy that Jalen Ramsey mocked and called a return specialist and turned him into the best wide receiver in football. Now, Tyreek Hill's athleticism and skill set also helped with developing that, but you now have added a token or a new piece to an Andy Reid offense and a system that guys like this can thrive in. Now, again, I know I'm off my hinges, and maybe I should calm down a little bit, but when you look at a player like this that nobody else has and you put him in the system of the Kansas City Chiefs, something starts to make go in your head and you look at the roster and you think to yourself, okay, they got Patrick Mahomes. Uh-huh. They got Travis Kelce. Yep. They have Isaiah Pacheco. Uh-huh. That rookie they had, what was his name? Rashee Rice. He was pretty good. Yep. Who'd they sign in the offseason? Hollywood Brown. He's fast, right? Mm-hmm. And now they have this guy, Luis Riz-Zamet. You got to think, man, maybe you got that Zoom back. Maybe you got your mojo back of what you were in 2019. And if that is the case, and you sprinkle a little bit of expertise and experience on this roster, holy hell, I'm excited.
I'm pumped. You know, two things. One, just to re-elaborate how, like, the speed factor, because Dusty said, me and him have done nothing but look up anything we can find on this guy. If you guys go onto YouTube, you can find a lot of videos of him actually training in pads with against other football players wherever he's training at, I believe is here in the United States. But the guy outside of running 24 miles an hour on the pitch, apparently potentially running a, what'd you say, a 4.29, 40?
Yeah, I think 4.24.
4.24, 40. Yeah. For all my track guys out there, this guy also ran a 10.4 100-meter dash. 10.4. You got Olympic guys running 9.8s and 9.9s. He's out here running a 10.4 100-meter dash. That's insane. Also, he wore number 14, by the way. A la Sammy Watkins?
Yep. So is there a number 14 on the roster right now? I don't think so. That's a tough question out of nowhere, though. We'll get to the out of left field question here in a little bit. But if you're asleep or you just turned on the radio and you decided to turn it on 610 Sports Radio, I appreciate you. I love you. Tell your friends. But the Chiefs, they do plan on signing Luis Riz-Zamet on Friday to their roster. By the way, his Twitter profile, 49,000 followers. Click follow. He is shirtless, rocking a peace sign, and his cover photo says, Manchester is my heaven. I'm all in. You know me. I root for the Red Devils. Wayne Rooney, how you doing? You're the one that got me there. This guy, when you look at what a perfect specimen looks like, that's this. When you look up, what does a great human being body look like in the world? This guy's the one. That's what we're going to. And now he's on the Chiefs
too.
Yeah, he's gonna steal some hearts. He's got a full half, or he's got a half sleeve on the left arm. My God, what if though? Because this guy is a specimen. And Ian Rappaport tweeted this on March 25th. This is a fun one. Rugby star Luis Riz-Zamet, one of the more high-profile international names in the International Player Pathway program, is visiting the Broncos today and the Chiefs tomorrow. Source said he spent last week with the Browns and the Jets. So he went to the Jets, said, nah, that Aaron Rodgers guy, too goofy. He went to the Browns, that Deshaun Watson guy, he's a creep. He went to the Broncos and said, this place sucks. He went to Kansas City and said, I think I like it here. I think I like this team. And again, he's 6'3", 194. He's got to put on a little weight. That ain't going to be hard. Welcome to the Midwest. We got barbecue. We got steaks.
All that stuff that sticks to them bones, man.
Yeah, you could come hang out with me, Daddy. I'll get you fed. I'll take you around town. I'll make sure you eat well. Legion of Zoo might be back.
2.0.
The other thing about this, the three things that stick out to me with the Luis Riz-Zamet signing. One, Chiefs are ahead of the curve. Two, they saw something that they knew they could work with in this system. So, obviously, there are people that will, you know, even the text line alludes to it. You know, obviously, the Chiefs saw something they can work with. Correct. Another one that Joe Summers told me as well, return of the Legion, to return of the Zoom. That's another one. But this kid is something that could be new to the NFL. This is an international superstar in the sport of rugby, a Welshman, and now coming to a team that basically is set to go and is already the best team in football with the best quarterback and the best head coach. You've got to think there's not a better system for this person. And if you're going to take a leap of faith and come to the NFL in a different sport and try it out, you're not going to Denver. You're not going to the Piss Baby Jets, as Cody Tapp called them. You're definitely not going to the Cleveland Browns. And then you walk into One Arrowhead Drive and you get the nice, glorious hug from an Andy Reid, and you get to watch the videos. How many people have been to a college basketball game at Lawrence, Kansas? Might not have a dog in a fight for a college basketball team, but you watch that video and you're like, I might put my trust and faith in this team. That's kind of the same thing that might have happened here. Hey, here's our plan for you. By the way, do you know what Super Bowls are? They're the biggest thing in the world when it comes to American sports. You know the rugby national championship game? That times 1,000. Oh, and by the way, this group, they've done it 3 times in 6 years, and we're trying to do it for a 3rd time in 3 straight years. Want to be a part of it? By the way, I'm interested to know, what were the other team's pitches for you? Probably not that good.
Probably not even close.
Did you go down their hallway and see trophies like that? You didn't? What'd they do, bring out Joe Namath? I sure would like to kiss you. I think I'll try another team. Kansas City Chiefs, you have a gadget player and someone of excitement in Luis Riz-Zamet, the Welsh international rugby-style player. And like you said, are you ready to see Travis Kelce catch a 15-yard pass down the middle and then throw a rugby-style backwards pass, and that guy just makes someone absolutely look like they're on skates?
I'm telling you, guys, go watch the videos. I thought we weren't going to find a whole lot on this guy. We found a lot real quick.
Very quick. Again, the 23-year-old, 6'3", 195-pound kid from Welsh, or the Welsh kid from Wales.
And at the minimum,
he's not from Wales, but Welsh.
He's Welsh.
Yeah.
Well, that would be from Wales.
Yeah. Rugby union wing.
If anything, let him develop. Practice squad. Keep him when you can. Put him in the practice squad. I mean, just breeds excitement, man.
Sign me up. We'll talk more about this, but it is 8 o'clock. We do this every night. The Out of Left Field question. I give you the question. We'll come back and read your answers with opening day tomorrow. You got to believe I'm going to ask this question. What is your must-have order at the baseball ballpark when you go to a baseball game? 913-586-7610. When you go to a baseball game, what is your must-have order at the ballpark? 913-586-7610. What is your must-have order at the ballpark for the Out of Left Field question list after hours on 610 Sports Radio?
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/more messy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.